Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Going to try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, the hardest hitting 2 hours of soccer talk is on the air here. We are ready to go here tonight. Welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 on the heels of the Wheelhouse. We are already off to a better start than we were last Tuesday. Your soccer station, like no other in Houston, is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, Inter Milan and Manchester City are through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. We'll talk about that. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. The call-in number tonight is 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. So the reason you want that number is because I will be giving tickets away to the Dynamo home opener against Austin FC. Now, Austin FC right now is in action, and Guillermo, who does all of our great work when it comes to all the digital promotions of the show, Guillermo's going to keep me up to date on the score of the Violet and Austin FC match, which is on. So I want to hear from you tonight. I got tickets to give away. We had a great weekend with the Kick Cancer setup with Cyfair Dynamos. We'll talk a little bit about that. Austin FC, I mentioned, in CONCACAF Champions League play. So they could be coming in beaten up here and fatigued into Saturday's game. The show is always presented by Daspit Law Firm. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, personal injury attorneys, any type of accident you get in, John and his firm, they will work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. It is DaspitLaw.com. All right. So we start off today. The lead story is Erling Haaland of Manchester City, who today, inside 60 minutes before he's taken off by Pep Guardiola, scored 5 goals. Yes, 5 goals against RB Leipzig. City won the game 7-0. They advanced to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. It was a blowout. He's got 39 now in all competitions. Breaks the City record that was held all the way back, I think, in 1929 by Tommy Johnson. And now he will set his sights on breaking the Premier League goal-scoring record. Haaland joins elite company with Lionel Messi and Adriano as the only man to score 5 in a Champions League game. He has 11 games to go in the Premier League. He currently has 28 Premier League goals. The record is held by Andy Cole of Manchester United and Alan Shearer, who have 34. So he's got 11 games to get 7 to break the record, which is pretty remarkable. So let us get a little taste of what happened here today. Let's go to Soundbite 23. This will put up Man City 1-0 on a penalty from Erling Haaland.
Erling Haaland. Ooh, he nearly reached it. But Haaland has given Manchester City the lead. Lazarus went the right way. He may just have got a hand on the ball, but he couldn't stop Erling Haaland.
Let's go to Soundbite 24. He makes it 2-0.
De Bruyne! It's the inside across by Haaland. 2-0. Erling Haaland has taken the game away from RB Leipzig.
Yeah, he did. He scored 5 goals. By the way, De Bruyne hit the crossbar and he followed up with a header. So a lot of these goals were just, he's the quickest man inside a penalty area right now. And my good friend Guillermo, go in front of Andrew if you can and just tell me what your friend said about Erling Haaland, because this is funny stuff. All you need is a microphone. This is pretty interesting because you hear this very often, and this is a really misguided take. So to respect his identity, you don't have to mention your buddy's name, Guillermo, but just tell me what he said about Erling Haaland.
Yeah, I was just talking to my friends, and they were just, you know, we were all wowed over the fact that he has scored 5 goals, but they kept on saying how he has no skill, that he can be a prolific goal scorer, but in terms of actual football skill, he has 0 to none is basically what they were saying. And I was defending that man, I'm not going to lie, and they kept on calling me delusional, and I obviously know that I am not in the wrong in this conversation.
No, you weren't, and I'm going to back you up here, but were your friends drinking today?
They were not. They were all sober, so...
Okay. Well, here's the thing. He does have a skill, and that is putting the ball in the goal, which is the most difficult skill in this game. So I think why people look like this is because he is a big man. He is a powerful man. He looks like a giant amongst, you know, the other players. He may not be the most smoothest man. Now, by the way, in the Bundesliga, he had an opportunity to really get opened up and do a lot of running on the counter and in transition. He doesn't get to do that as much anymore for City. And we talked about this when he was signed. He's got to play with his back to goal more now. It's different. But this today was just about being the sharpest man in the penalty area, these goals that he scored. Quicker than anybody else, innate sense. Understanding where the ball's going to be before anybody else. And, you know, this man is a goal-scoring machine. He's a machine. Now, here's the kicker. He's going to break all these records, most likely, as long as he doesn't get hurt. But with Pep Guardiola, I see Pep Guardiola looking at him as almost a science experiment that, wow, I'm going to get this guy who's already scoring goals by the bushels full. I'm going to get him to play better with his back to goal. I'm going to get him more involved in the build-up game to a degree. And I think Guardiola loves these kinds of individual challenges with players. And if you were listening to the game today, Thierry Henry at the end of the game said, no better manager than Pep Guardiola. And he kind of made the statement that the reason Guardiola is such a good manager is because if you can't match him with your brain on game day, with the way he changes systems and things, and let's be fair here, he's got players that can literally change your system that come off the bench, but if you don't match him mentally and with the acumen of tactics, you're going to have a hard time beating him. But he's got a center forward that is a bit of a project, very different than before. They're not playing with a false nine; they're playing with an out and out center forward. So that theory of he's not skilled is wrong. He may not look as smooth as Kevin De Bruyne on the ball or Gundogan or others, but effective, executioner, oh, unbelievable. All right, we got a phone call here with Solomon, who wants to talk U.S. men's national team in El Tri. Solomon, what's happening?
Hey, Glenn, long-time listener, first-time caller. And I love your show. I love, you know, the opinion you have on all the different leagues, and it's you know, it's amazing. It's a fresh talk. You know, I listen to all the you know, Mexican, you know, like talk shows and all that. And I mean, to be honest, it's just like it's trash. You know, it's, you know, and to listen to you, it's like, you know, like a fresh you know, aspect of everything. I just wanted to hear your opinion about, you know, how the national, how, you know, I'm a Mexican national, you know, like it's you know, it's in my DNA. You know, I lived in the United States, you know, most of my life, but, you know, how can the Mexican Federation change to make it like, you know, like, you know, for it to be a future of it, you know, to be a future of, you know, to have a future of, you know, of good players and, you know, and good coaches. And, you know, like I see that like I see all these young players, you know, playing in Europe, you know, the United States players playing, like they're all under 22 and, you know, I'm envious of it. You know, I envy that. So how can the Mexican, you know, the Mexican Federation change that?
Solomon,
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Solomon, fantastic question. Thank you for that. Thank you for the kind compliments as well. Okay, so I think the first thing is, obviously, I know Solomon and many of the Mexican and El Tri fans are upset about the performance in the World Cup. We kind of saw that coming. But look, the problem in Mexico from the outside, and this is simply my opinion, is that, you know, the Mexican player has been kind of cast aside. You know, a lot of Argentines coming in, players from other countries that aren't necessarily better players, but have agents that are cutting deals. And, you know, there's some backwater stuff going on under the table that gets players positioned. And ultimately, it's an opportunity for a Mexican player that they don't get. So I think that's one part of it. Is that I think the Mexican player is not getting the opportunity they once got. Now, if you notice, Liga MX and Major League Soccer, they're beginning to come together, and there's a lot of things being done in MLS that the Mexican Federation and Liga MX are it's appealing to them. I don't want that to happen because I want the Mexican league to remain its own solitary league and MLS too. I don't want it to bleed into one and just be a big giant commercial basket, right? So that's number one is I think Mexican players aren't getting the opportunity they once did. I think you're absolutely right that we've waited a long time to have a lot of players on high level teams over in Europe. And to see them perform each and every week. For instance, last weekend, Tyler Adams against playing for Leeds. You know, I'm watching him and, you know, 6 months ago, I'm going, what does Tyler Adams need to add to his game? Tyler Adams is a remarkable leader, totally engaged professional, plays with an energy and a zest. He's good on the ball, but most of his passes at this time, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, are simple and safe passes. And I say to myself, okay, I want to see Tyler Adams in the future now develop a range of passing. I want to be able to see him look up in transition and play a ball behind the line of the midfield of an opposing team and turn them, right? And lo and behold, the last couple of games, he's hitting these wonderful passes that are leading to attacks, that are turning other teams, that are very progressive and that are getting the team into the attack as opposed to, you know, the 10-yard ball to his right or left. So it's so fun to watch players like this evolve, begin to stretch their game, to do things differently from a creative standpoint. So we are in a pretty envious position, and we said that before this World Cup, that 2026 is your opportunity to make a big, big run. But as far as the Mexican game's concerned, the Mexican player needs more opportunity. Now, you got one who's doing very well, and that's Chucky Lozano with Napoli. He's on one of the best teams in Europe. He's a winger. He's making stuff happen. He's got two great center forwards in front of him. But I do think that Mexican soccer, I don't like using the word corruption, but come on, let's be honest. It's there. Jesus. I mean, where isn't it, right? I mean, I don't want to be that guy that says that word, but it's true. It's true. And look, it's spread throughout soccer. So now I'm going to segue on from Solomon. By the way, 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. I want to hear your thoughts on the Houston Dynamo opener against Austin FC. Austin FC 9 minutes in right now against the team from Haiti. It is a 0-0 scoreline. And, you know, I was wondering last night on the Austin show, will all the fans show up? Will it be as big a crowd? And is this a situation where, you know, the Austin fans certainly understand Major League Soccer, but do they understand what CONCACAF Champions League is? And I know the hardcore do. There's no question. But I don't think overall they understand it in Austin. And you can see there's a lot of empty seats. It's not a normal MLS crowd there, and they need that crowd. They can get the first goal here early. It can compound into a lot of pressure on a team that only had 10 visas. So the Haitian team, Violet, and I heard a lot of people talking about, wow, it's fair play, we need to be fair to them. No, you don't. Violet's responsible for getting their own visas. They only had 10 players with visas. They had to sign players here in America to play in this game, okay? This is not about the earthquake in Haiti. This is not about the other things that we know are real challenges for the Haitian people. This is a soccer team. They have a secretary. They have players. You get your own visas. You don't put that on Austin FC. That's not their problem. It'll never get better unless you take responsibility for it. So for them to come without the visas is stunning to me, and I'll tell you why. Because this is a showroom opportunity for these players. They're in the showroom to play in a game like this. They have a good game. They might get an MLS contract. All right, enough. We're coming back to talk about the World Cup, by the way. 48 teams? Are you kidding me? Let's do what we can to demystify the sacredness of the World Cup. All right, we're going to take a break. I just want to give you a little bit of a reminder real quick here. This is the Alpine Stars, by the way. This band's from Manchester. Vantage BMW in Midtown, you seek performance, you find luxury. Vantage BMW in Midtown, you go there, you'll experience premier service. It's tailored for you. Look, I bought cars there, leased, bought. Excellence at Vantage BMW in Midtown isn't just offered, it's expected. My guy's Justin. In the past, it was Sergio. Stephen Prather's down there. Service center's dedicated to putting your time first. But the first thing you do is you get the expert sales team. They'll help you find the perfect new certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. Discover something special. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. But go to Advantage BMW in Midtown. Caller number 5 right now, 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets, opening day, Dynamo Austin FC.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Martinelli, Trossard. Behind Saka, a break though for Martin Ødegaard. It's 3! Brilliant first half performance from the Gunners.
So I told producer Andrew Carlson, pick a goal to come back with. And of course, this is New Order. New Order's playing here in Houston on Thursday at the 713. This guy will be there. I'm going there to see that band, Manchester band. And who does Andrew Carlson pick? Arsenal's second goal, Gabriel Martinelli, from their 3-0 victory over Fulham. So as I welcome you back, I want to remind you of one quick thing here, LamontBrands.com. If you go to LamontBrands.com, you can get the Soccer Matters hats now. So we have hats there. We have the T-shirts, variety of colors. Get your Soccer Matters T-shirts. You can get one in orange to wear to Dynamo games. But all the proceeds go to the 501c charity, Snowdrop Foundation, which, by the way, we raised $2,200 with a soccer clinic this weekend. We got a great donation from a company, Cimarron, and we appreciated that as well. And the Cyfair Dynamo Soccer Club, headed up by the former Houston hotshot, Olivier Finidori, who played in the old Summit back in those days with the Houston Hotshots in the 90s, runs that club. They have been doing that for 16 years. Now, that's what I call community service. All their staff come out. They donate their time, their skill, their knowledge. Was really, really nice. And we had a young man named Ethan Hughes out there who's a motocross rider, and he beat cancer. And Ethan has amazing testimony and is just a very uplifting young man, the way he speaks to youth. And he's still a young guy himself. By the way, he's going to come around with me when we start handing soccer balls out at Texas Children's Hospital. So excited to do the work with him. He's the star. You bring him in the room, you let him talk, and then you step to the side. That's what I do. All right, so that was from Arsenal's 3-0 victory over Fulham. That one had to make you feel pretty good, Andrew, just based on the definitive nature of it on the road.
Yeah, I mean, Fulham was missing Paulinho, which is a crucial, crucial piece for them, I think, in the now like 2 3/4 games or whatever it is. It's not almost 3 full games that he's missed. They've conceded 10 goals, which is a decent portion of the goals conceded for their entire season this year. So it was a bit of a stroke of luck that Arsenal had that
run in their favor. But at the same time, they've been running a bit of a high wire act recently in terms of the fact that, you know, they've had all these last minute winners and these rather tense, close games. So to have one that was wrapped up by halftime, you get to make multiple subs in the second half and take off all your crucial players. It was a very, very nice change of pace from the way the last few weeks in the Premier League have gone.
Less stressful for you
just
as well.
Just slightly. Yeah. Just slightly.
Less stressful for you. But, you know, good fortune is a part of winning the Premier League. I mean, I think, and a World Cup. You know, look, everybody has an off game in a World Cup. Look what happened to Argentina, right? Who did they get upset by? Saudi Arabia?
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat. So they go into game two in the World Cup against Mexico. They lose. They're done. And Mexico's rejoicing because, you know, Mexico loves Argentine football. Let's face it. You know, Mexico's the little brother to Argentina. We kind of know that when it comes to soccer. Look at all the coaches that are Argentine that are signed in Mexico. And I mean that respectfully. Don't think I don't. Because everybody who knows me knows I love Mexican soccer and knows I've had relationships in the past in youth and player development with Monterrey and Atlas and know people down there, Efrain Flores, on and on and on. I'm not name dropping here, but I have a true affinity for Mexican soccer, especially since I came here to Houston, played against some of the teams like UNAM Pumas, Guadalajara. So we love Mexican soccer, and Houston loves Mexican soccer. No question about it. All right. Let's continue on because we said we were going to come back and talk a little bit about the World Cup. So it's been announced by FIFA. Oh, gosh. I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore. And okay. So there is one good silver lining to this, which I will eventually get to. The World Cup is now going to go to 48 teams in 2026. U.S., Canada, Mexico is hosting it. 48 teams, 12 groups of four. You're going to go from 64 games to now 104. So when you think of the additional content, the money, you know, your chances of seeing a World Cup game in the United States, Canada, or Mexico just increased almost doubled, okay? So that's maybe the silver lining. But, you know, expansion, bigger, more games, more money. What are we doing to the World Cup? And we are demystifying the World Cup. The lore of it, the sacredness of it. And this has begun already with it being in Qatar, I have to say. I don't know if this is progress to you. I would love to get callers to weigh in on this. Do you want a 48-team World Cup? And maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe I just got to get on the train of the progress. But I'll tell you what, I'm not getting on that train. I want it to be unique. I want goals that are scored to come in ways that, you know, they're just indelibly etched in our minds forever. You know, like Pelé's layoff to Carlos Alberto in the 70 World Cup in Azteca. I want those things to be indelibly etched in my mind. So do you like the expanded format? Do you fear the sacredness of the World Cup is under attack? Crowded schedule, more matches. By the way, more stress on athletes. And I'll tell you what, you are going to see a time where star players might say, you know what? I'm bagging out on the World Cup. I make enough money with my club. It's losing its sacred nature. I'm going to rest my body and spend time with my family. That could possibly happen. That could possibly happen. Especially with guys that are not on teams that really have a great opportunity to maybe win it, right? I'm not sure Brazilians are going to do that. I'm not sure Germans are going to do that. But if you're playing on a team that's a long shot to win it, you might take the World Cup off. All right, Andrew Carlson, give me your take on this expanded World Cup. 48 teams, now 104 games.
It's very frustrating, Glenn, because we're seeing it not just at the international level of the sport, but we've seen it at the club level too over in Europe with what they were trying to do with first the European Super League and then the expanded sort of Champions League, where they are removing the merit that is required to truly, I think, have real accomplishment. Like, it is so frustrating to me that you are having these accomplishments that are being watered down because of the fact that you no longer have to meet a certain set of requirements in order to qualify for the chance to win these things. And it's annoying because part of what makes winning a World Cup great, winning a Champions League great, is the whole process it takes just to get there, just to even participate in the tournament, is a long and arduous process. And if you remove that process, it takes away, for me at least, some of the glory that comes with winning that tournament.
Yeah, it takes years to qualify for a World Cup. It's grueling. South America, CONMEBOL, I mean, it's grueling. And yeah, I agree with you 100%, but I think it's simply money over competition.
100%.
And to now keep chipping away at the competition is a worry to me. Well, I lose sleep anyway, so it's not going to be on the World Cup. But I kind of shudder. 713-780-3776. Do you want to talk about that? Does anybody got a take on that? Do you like an expanded World Cup? Am I wrong? Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Now, remember last week we were here talking, Andrew, and we said, wow, it's going to be really interesting to see how Manchester United handle their game against Real Betis in Europa League on Thursday. Okay, after getting smacked by Liverpool 7-0. And they handled it just fine. Ten Hag got them reversed. They ended up in a draw on the weekend with Southampton after Casemiro got sent off. But I also said it's going to be very interesting to see what Liverpool does. Well, what does Liverpool do? They lose 1-0 to Bournemouth, who they had beaten in August 9-0. Here's Philip Billing with the winning goal for Bournemouth.
Now, Ouattara again. Must be close to being offside here, but the flag is stayed down for now. Solanke's in the middle. So too is Phil Billing. And it counts. They put 7 past Manchester United. But they're behind in Bournemouth.
Austin FC, by the way, just got their first goal 26 minutes in, so they got the goal they need now. They got a little bit of momentum. Okay, so that was Liverpool losing to Bournemouth. And, you know, we mentioned on the show last week that Liverpool is in a rebuild, whether you like it or not. Liverpool's in a rebuild. 713-780-3776. And it was interesting to listen to Jurgen Klopp after that game. But guys like Darwin Nunez, these guys are getting used to the league. Cody Gakpo. Let's play Soundbite 18, Andrew, if you can. It's Jurgen Klopp on a proper setback in a season of setbacks.
Oh, setbacks are setbacks. Huh? So, but we are in the situation we are because of the setbacks. That's how it is. And we are in the situation we are because of the good performances as well. So we didn't have only.
So that was Jurgen Klopp. It was interesting to hear him just make that big sigh right before he started talking.
There was more to it, actually, Glenn. I was trying to put the caller's information on the board over here to your left, and as I did it, it's connected on the same computer, so it cut Jurgen off if you would like to hear the rest of it.
Sir, let's hear the rest of it. And you know what, Andrew Carlson? We all make mistakes, including your very humble host here who last week couldn't plug in his headset. So I love the way you've calmly handled this. Let's hear the rest of Jurgen.
Oh, setbacks are setbacks. Huh? So, but we are in the situation we are because of the setbacks. That's how it is. And we are in the situation we are because of the good performances as well. So we didn't have only setbacks, but we had too many. That's clear. Today was a proper one. No doubt about that. Now we have to deal with it. We will deal with it. It's one of the things we learned in this season, to deal with setbacks. But we have to make sure we recover properly, because on Wednesday we have obviously a big game as well. Then we have the international break. I hope that everybody comes back healthy. And then we have the football week, of all football weeks, opponent-wise. So, there's a lot to go for. But today is now not the moment for me to talk about that. This game was a massive knock. Yeah, and how it is with knocks. You have to take them, and then you have to have a look how big the scars are, and then you go from there.
So you imagine you're at Anfield. You're thrashing your greatest rival in the biggest rivalry in the history of English football. You got to turn around and go to Bournemouth, and you left it in your locker room. That goal call back, by the way, for Austin FC. I think there was a handball. So it's still 0-0, and it's in the 29th minute. It's getting a little dicey. They need a first-half goal, I think, for sure. All right. So speaking of setbacks, we have a problem in youth soccer in this country. Whenever our children have a setback or a disappointment, we want to go make it all right for them as adults sometimes. And by the way, I'm not painting everybody with the same brush. Which leads me to Claudio Reyna, Danielle Reyna, Gio Reyna, and the report that just came out from U.S. Soccer. Now, this is the last time I want to even talk about this because I find it so my skin turns and crawls. So what they found out was Claudio Reyna had 6 years of consistent behavior. I mean, there's so much stuff in here, you have to read it yourself. You could make a soap opera out of this. 6 years of behavior, and I heard this a lot because of people that are in the same circles, and I've interviewed Claudio Reyna on shows, and I always felt a sense of entitlement and privilege. Fantastic soccer player, by the way. But I'm very clear on the differences in the two. And by the way, I want you to hold because I do want to hear about you and the expanded World Cup. We'll get back to that. But apparently he's been calling the Federation for 6 years when his son was in under 17, complaining about him not getting a first-class flight and complaining about referees. This I know for sure because I've had friends that are scouts that are based out of Europe that were at these events and saw this going on with him and have told me about this years ago, 2-3 years ago. So this all makes sense. He had a sulking son. He wanted special treatment for his son. His wife then brings up an incident that happened 30 or 31 years ago with Greg Berhalter in college. His wife hit him in the face. He pushed her down. He kicked her. He went to the college coach. He went through all the proper channels. I mean, I guess you can't technically call it blackmail, but it sure seems like blackmail. And they threatened to bring that information out when they were calling during the World Cup to U.S. soccer officials like Ernie Stewart and Brian McBride, who aren't with it anymore. Reyna declined to speak to the investigators. His wife did. She changed her story. But it's sad. It's just so sad. It's pathetically sad. And what I heard was a lot of people jumping on a bandwagon. You have to distinguish between the behavior of the Reyna family and their son, quite frankly. We're not going to give up on him. Nobody's going to give up on him. You have to distinguish between the coach and the decisions he makes because he is the coach and the Reyna situation. They're not the same thing. They're totally different. We're talking about what parents did here. Now, apparently, I guess over in Qatar, they had a event where, you know, when they were winning and doing well, everybody was happy except for the five people in the Reyna family who apparently were, were using some pretty messed up language. Anyway, it's sad commentary. It's poor human behavior. It's certainly a family that was hell-bent on individual desires before team desires and our national team. And I'll tell you what, as a guy that never had a career anywhere near Claudio Reyna and many, many other people in this country, and I'm glad there's ex-players speaking out, we're allowed to be frustrated with that behavior. Okay? We're definitely allowed to be frustrated with that behavior. We're definitely allowed to be critical of it. And there's other stuff that I've also heard that's not very endearing about things that have happened and why guys got on certain teams where Claudio Reyna and others may have had some influence. It's brutal. It's brutal. How you could be doing that while your team's trying to, a great group of young kids and a coach are trying to make things happen in a World Cup. Pretty sad to me. All right. That's it. Sad, infuriating, selfish behavior. Okay. I'm putting that to bed. Jeff, you're going to be first up when we come back. We're going to begin to start Dynamo Austin talk. And right now, caller number 4-713-780-3776. How about a pair of tickets to Dynamo Austin FC Saturday night? There ain't no use
surprise. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the show. Giving away tickets to the Houston Dynamo opener against Austin FC. And we appreciate and congratulations to all the winners. I'm going to drop their names here in a little bit. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They are supporting soccer and the great game of football. They get us on the air. So don't forget the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, Danish Inspirations, modern contemporary furniture. Now, if you head over to 2775 Fondren, you'll get the best in modern contemporary furniture. Danish Inspirations should be on your bucket list of modern contemporary furniture shopping. My house has got a lot of pieces from Danish Inspirations. DanishInspirations.com. You can go look at the wide selection. They've got the Stressless line. It is the best in modern contemporary furniture in Houston and is presented by the great Dane himself, Jan Christensen. Again, DanishInspirations.com. And they have been longtime sponsors of this show. Great friend of mine is Jan, and we really appreciate what he's done for soccer and getting us on the air here in Houston. All right, the Patience Award goes to Jeff. Let's go back to the conversation about the expanded World Cup. Jeff, thanks for being patient.
No worries, Glenn. I'm sitting here with you in my ears and the Austin game on the TV in front of me. But first off, sorry that we're not going to see you at the stadiums doing your broadcast. That I'll miss seeing you guys there. So change is happening. Regarding the World Cup expansion, it's definitely too much. I've just seen, again, you know, besides following the MLS and the EPL, I mean, looking to see what, you know, the quality of the players and just seeing how much, even after this, you know, World Cup break went on and how many competitions they're going, I think the shelf life on the, even the great players is going to be shortened up. The body can only take so much. You can't have all these games, all these competitions. And again, it's all the competition. Again, you've got, you know, Carabao Cup, you've got Champions League, you got Europa League, you got all these competitions, and then put that in qualifying for your national teams. It's crazy. I mean, you pretty much hit a nail on the head earlier when you were discussing it earlier. I mean, this is just nuts.
Yeah, I just the sacredness of the World Cup. You know, we all have our World Cup moment where we were introduced to it. You know, mine was 74. I'm at Madison Square Garden watching it on closed circuit television, West Germany against the Netherlands, right? We all have our moment. Now we're up to 48 teams. Now we're up to 104 games. You know, the only silver lining is it's going to afford people the opportunity to get into a World Cup match and say they went. But I think it's a true demystifying of it. And again, it's all about the money. A lot is going to start moving towards the Middle East. I don't think there's any question. There's even a crazy rumor today, which I'm not even going to begin to believe, that Leo Messi is going to go play on the same team as Cristiano Ronaldo in the Middle East. I'm not even going there. I don't want to go there, but I do worry about the expanded World Cup because I love the sacredness of the World Cup.
No, and that's right. Again, it's to me, that's what it's a World Cup, but it's, you know, really the best of the best. And again, you have, you know, individual players from many countries that are great skilled players, and then it's just the geography or the federations themselves, whereas the countries are good, but they're not the top echelon what the World Cup needs to be, in my opinion.
No question about it. By the way, you will see me at the stadium because I will be doing the radio calls, and we have them right here on ESPN 97.5. So you will see me at the stadium.
Awesome.
Yeah. So.
Yep. As I said, so see Unity around there, you know, quite a bit in the past. So again, when I heard that, you know, again, with the changes and you're there. But no, for ESPN, that's fantastic. That's great news.
Yeah, well, you know, as you know, this is the soccer station in Houston in English language, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And you know I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops any chance I can get because I think I'm proud of my association here. And I'm proud that, you know, so many at the station, including, you know, a producer like Andrew Carlson, the next generation of guys that love the game, are here talking about it constantly. They follow it. Upper management does. David Gow, Todd Farquharson. You saw the contributions of John and Lance and all the guys on the other shows during the World Cup when we were doing the World Cup updates. So, in fact, I was on the morning show this morning on the bench talking about the Reyna situation. So I think it's progress for us, and I think we're leading the way in Houston when it comes to being a station. Jeff, thank you very much for your thoughts tonight. We appreciate it.
Yep, take care. Thanks.
All right, so Jeff, another one for us in the camp of we don't want more teams in the World Cup, which we know we're not going to be able to stem that tide. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. Now, I think Austin FC has just been, you know, knocking on the door here. Can't score a goal. A couple of good saves from the Violet goalkeeper. They're pounding away here. It's the 44th minute. Still nil-nil. Love to see them get a goal before halftime and just kind of gradually grab and build the momentum, but they have not been able to produce a goal yet. Also, the Philadelphia Union are playing Alianza of El Salvador, which, by the way, is a team I played against, believe it or not, in a thing called the Marlboro Cup in San Antonio on the AstroTurf at where? Alamo Stadium. Alamo Stadium. So, I'm sure you're going to mark that one down and remember that one in the archives. We did beat them on penalty kicks. We took third place. Unam Pumas won the tournament. All right. I want to take you into, we did talk a lot about Manchester City today advancing Leipzig. But by the way, I caught the end of Porto and Inter Milan. Amazing finish to this. Porto hitting the woodwork, ball kicked off the line, or it would have went to extra time. I felt so bad for them. I was really pulling for Porto against Inter Milan to push that into extra time. Tomorrow night, Real España will take on Vancouver in the CONCACAF Champions League. Orlando City Tigres. Now, Orlando City went down, put in a very workmanlike, you know, just, you know, blood and guts type performance at Tigres to get a nil-nil draw. But they got to score goals. They've struggled to score goals. They got an opportunity to knock Tigres out. That would be a huge, huge upset. That would be a wonderful result for Orlando City. LAFC and Alajuelense from Costa Rica is the other match. 14 MLS games on Saturday, including the Houston Dynamo opener, which will be at the Shell Energy Stadium on Saturday night, 7:30. So 7 o'clock, you can tune into the pregame show here on ESPN 97.5. Another interesting thing that has occurred, Alejandro Zendejas, you'll remember him, he plays for Club America. He has opted to commit to the U.S. men's national team over Mexico. So that goes back to the call later on by Solomon, who Solomon called earlier here talking about Mexico. So there's, is this a penalty, guys? Did they call it?
I believe so. The referee has been, no, I guess not.
Austin FC just got CONCACAF'd. Sebastian Driussi got dragged down. Looked like a penalty. Maybe it wasn't. I didn't get a real good look at it. We got a monitor on here. So Austin FC still at nil-nil. And again, the harder they got to work in this game, the more Ben Olsen and the Dynamo are happy here, right? Just keep working hard. Make them drag this one out. Keep running. Keep the pressure building mentally and physically. And hopefully they come into Houston. Slight nudge. He went down rather easily, though, as I'm looking on the monitor here. But Triussi is worth the price of admission alone. And by the way, the Dynamo are playing for the third straight game. They are taking on one of the premier playmakers. In fact, he is the number one playmaker in the league to me because he just does more than anybody else, more than Carlos Gil, more than Luciano Acosta. I mean, this guy comes back and defends. He's a different player in every third of the field. He's back defending and heading away corners. He attacks crosses like a center forward. He's got a ridiculous range of passing. If only. Spectacular player, Sebastian Driussi, the Argentine. So we would just say let's have Austin FC just keep beating at the door here under stress here to try and get back into this game. And the Dynamo may face a very fatigued team. They also may face a team that's in a good rhythm because they have been playing games. This will be 3 games in 9 days. The Dynamo have had 2 weeks off, which you'll hear in my interview with Ben Olsen later. That's not something that he likes. I don't think the players like. It is a pretty weird time to get a break, especially when you lose 2 games. You want to jump right back on that horse. You want an opportunity to get a result, to right the wrongs, And the Dynamo are going to need to do that because the goals they gave up against New England, Guillermo and I took a look at them again. I needed to refresh my mind about those goals. First one was simply out wide. Tate Schmidt got sucked in. They played a 1-2. And to credit New England, Brandon Bae hit an early cross with defenders running back towards their own goals, their own goal, and Steve Clark. And that's a really awkward kind of place to be as a center back. I can tell you that from experience. When you get turned and there's early delivery coming in and you can't get set to deal with it. Good little flick on by Bobby Wood. And then I think it was Barrera who got the game's first goal. Second goal, Carlos Hill had three guys around him. Hector Herrera, I'm not sure who else it was. But the three guys, nobody elected to put pressure on Hill. He's looking at the Dynamo back four and just, you know, threads the eye of a needle and puts them in behind. They get a second goal. And then the third one was a wide winger that put on a dribbling exhibition. And Brandon Bae would ultimately get the goal. Barrero, that nice wide winger that is a part of New England's makeup. Now, New England got smashed by LAFC 4-0 this past weekend. So, you know, if you want to do the comparison game, I wouldn't do that earlier in, at this point of the year. I know there's a few people doing that. I don't buy that at this time of the year. But I will say there's real pressure on the Dynamo because you've lost two road games. You don't want to be 0-3, and you want to win in front of your home fans to kind of accent the fact that there's a lot of newness going on. All right. Do we have time to whip off this Paul Merson quote here?
Yeah, sure. We can use it to finish the hour here, Glenn.
All right, let's do that. Man, we are on the same page today. It's like a good holding midfielder and a playmaker, Andrew. You're not mad at me. Things are going beautiful here. All right, so this is Paul Merson, who used to play for Arsenal, unfortunately, and I've got a story about him. But check this soundbite out. Just listen to this.
The hardest thing in the world is to be a footballer.
Okay.
I mean, I think parents need to understand this. It's the hardest thing in the world to be. It's harder to be a professional footballer than a brain surgeon. It's harder. You know, everybody wants to be a footballer. Not everybody wants to be a brain surgeon. You know, if you want to be a brain surgeon, you pick up a book and you study it and study it and study it. And if you do everything properly, you'll be a brain surgeon. You can work as hard as you can at football. That doesn't mean you're going to be a footballer. And that's why this is the hardest thing in the world to be, you know, and it starts now. And you at like 6-7, it's
let's cut Paul. We don't need any more. He's already gone into insanity. So I guess Paul's telling you if you're not good at reading books about brain surgery, then you're not going to be a good brain surgeon. I would say there might be a little more pressure on doing a brain surgery to me than it would be playing in a soccer game in front of 70,000 people. I'm going to ask you guys what you think when you come back. All right. Paul Merson, by the way, scored a goal once and ran along the sideline and put his nose to the white chalk, which was the line to pretend he was snorting cocaine. So maybe his brain's fried. Maybe he needs a brain surgeon, Paul Merson. Sorry, Andrew, with all the good things going on with Arsenal, we have to be honest. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. Jimmy Cliff, Harder They Come. It's a great movie, by the way. Beautiful song, it's a little reggae. Yeah, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to get a visit from Victor Ariza. We're going to talk some Houston Dynamo, Austin FC. And by the way, all you Dynamo podcasters, everybody that's on social media, your time to call in now if you want to talk about the Dynamo, because I don't want it to be just me and Victor. Okay, we want support from you. 713-780-3776. Agree with our takes, disagree, bring up key points in your mind, but this is your chance. Let's see who's going to talk Dynamo in the next segment. 713-780-3776. Get your t-shirts and hats for charity, LamontBrands.com.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.